And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. It is an exciting week, Dan.
Absolutely. I have been downloading like crazy. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Brian Keller.
And let's get right into it. What have we been downloading, Brian?
Number one thing everyone's downloading this week is Windows 8 RTM is available for
both
MSDN subscribers and TechNet subscribers. And if you're not either of those, then you can download the trial editions, 90-day
evaluation.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
so
right.
This is awesome. This is what everybody's been waiting for. People are starting to install it on their machines. Obviously, the store is available as well,
yep.
So people can start seeing apps. The store is also taking payments as well right now, so you're seeing a lot of people actually just kind of get used to this. And I love MSDN subscriptions because we're able to get these tools. And I know a lot of people were just, those servers must have been on fire.
Oh, sure.
But this is awesome and clearly something that us developers have been really excited about.
Absolutely. I've got it running at home and in my office, all over the place.
All over the place.
Yes.
Love it.
So we also have Windows 8 Dev Camp training.
Yeah, so the idea here is now that you've downloaded Windows 8, you probably want to know, this is your time to learn about the Windows 8 platform. So the Windows 8 Developer Camps, now there are a series of developer camps all over the world coming to a city near you, so you can go check that out. I think it's devcamps.ms.
That's right.
And the Windows 8 Dev Camp training was here in Redmond, so we got an opportunity to actually have some of the folks on the platform, like a friend of the show, John Lamb, did a great introduction to the Windows 8 platform. So if you've been, say, waiting to learn about Windows 8, definitely watch this session and all the other ones that go through the details of building applications, using the light up features, contracts, everything that you need from an application to manage process lifecycle management that's unique to an application, to a Windows 8 application.
Tombstoning, live tile updates, all that good stuff, yeah.
Absolutely, things for the store and so on. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity. All the videos are, of course, available on Channel 9, and you can, of course, download them as well.
Excellent.
Cool.
What's next?
Migrating your release preview application to Windows 8. So for those of you that have already been writing applications, this is our official guidance, and it is a Word document that walks through kind of things that have changed in the release preview.
Mm-hmm.
So the nice thing it is, it only is 187K. It's not a 6 meg file.
Right.
So there aren't that many changes from the release preview to Windows 8. But this is definitely something that you're going to want to review for your application as it exists today, to get and work on Windows 8 RTM.
That's awesome. I have to hand it to the Windows team and everyone's associated with the developer evangelism around this. They just have so many resources available. I was checking out design.windows.com and they talk about how to build a great Metro style, Windows 8 style application that takes advantage of the new design paradigms and everything else, and it kind of walks you through some really pragmatic guidance for people, even if you're not a designer by background, which I certainly am not, but I felt like I could consume that material and get started with my application. So
sure.
It's really nice. Yeah.
And that brings us to our other big download, Visual Studio 2012 and the .NET Framework 4.5. So now we're talking, for downloading, Team Foundation Server.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking .NET Framework 4.5. We're talking Visual Studio Ultimate for MSDN subscribers.
Yep.
We're talking Visual Studio Express, baby.
Yep.
Available for download now. Now the Express for desktop is coming soon.
Okay.
It isn't available right now. You can still get the links to the 2010 version for Express for desktop. And that would be for things like building a WPF application, Windows Forms, console,
right,
and so on.
But if you want to build a Windows 8 store application, you can get Express for Windows, right, is what it's
yes,
called. Yeah.
And you will obviously, it is a requirement to run that on Windows 8.
Windows 8 RTM.
Windows 8 RTM.
Yes. So
yes.
You've got to match the two of those. If you
try
to install it on like the release preview, you're going to get some problems.
Or Windows 7.
That's right. That's right.
So love it. And kudos to everybody that's been working on Visual Studio 2012 and the .NET Framework 4.5. So.
Absolutely. And speaking of .NET Framework 4.5, actually, speaking of Visual Studio 2012, don't forget we have a launch event coming up. You can save the date. And this is going to have presentations from all of our leadership, Brian Harry, Soma Soma Sagar, Jason Zander, and then a ton of deep dive videos that a few of which may see someone you recognize.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Troy McClure is going to be there?
Yes, he will.
Awesome.
He
I
will.
Love that guy.
Yeah. And then, so this is what I was going to segue into. So speaking of .NET Framework, we also made available, in addition to the framework itself, the source code and a public symbol server that you can point your symbol resolution to if you need to step through the code.
Yeah, and the primary reason here is to improve your debugging experience. But as Brandon says, like, you know, there's a lot of interesting algorithms in our products in terms of .NET Framework 4.5, and a lot of people do want to do this. I think it's awesome. So, I mean, being able to do the step-through debugging and being able to, when you need to, look through the source code and actually know what's going on in an application is awesome.
Turns out it's all written in J-sharp, which is
damn
incredible.
Damn it!
Yeah.
This whole time, J-sharp. Yeah. God, wouldn't that be terrible?
That'd be awesome.
That would just be the beginning of the nightmare.
I spent my first 5 years at Microsoft building it up, and now I'm spending the remainder of my short career tearing it down.
It's nice.
So much fun.
Scott Hanselman, to support the release of Visual Studio 2012, has a number of videos for the .NET Web Tools team that cover all sorts of different features and cool tips and tricks. So this is everything from when you're editing source files, that you actually get a nice debug experience on CSS when you're choosing a color. You can get a color picker pop up, which I absolutely love. A page inspector. Some of the enhancements around deploying applications. Some of the bread and butter source code enhancements, whether it's JavaScript or anywhere in code. Web forms controls IntelliSense. There's just a lot of cool stuff that we get in there, and I think a lot of people maybe don't realize the scope of new features coming for web developers.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I love these like quick hits of things that are in the development environment that you may not even know about. And I think it's a good time to remind people also that we've got really easy ways for you to move from 2010 to 2012. For example, the ability for you to continue to use the same projects and solutions in most cases between Visual
Studio. Are they separate files?
No, same files. So Visual Studio 2010. SP1 there's a few edge cases this doesn't work, but for most cases you can just open the solution in Visual Studio 2010 and then close it and open that same solution in Visual Studio 2012. And that's great if you have a couple people on your team that want to start trying Visual Studio 2012 before the rest of the team moves. The other nice thing about this is that you can continue, of course, to target multiple versions of the .NET framework from within Visual Studio 2012, so you don't have to migrate the framework right away. And from what I understand talking to Brandon Bray and team, they think that they've got 100% compatibility for .NET 4 apps to just run with .NET 4.5, so there shouldn't be any breaking changes. If you're running 4.5, it just gets better.
Awesome. So another series that's come on Channel 9 is the Visual Studio Premium and Ultimate 2012 overview. What are these, Brian?
Yeah, so this is a series of videos that lights up the really nice features you get across Premium and Ultimate. So these are things like some of the advanced ALM tools, some of the architecture and modeling tools, some of the collaboration tools like Code Review and MyWork. So if you are lucky enough to have Premium or Ultimate, this is going to take you through a lot of the features that you may not even know about, but that are included as part of the product that you own now.
Yeah, so I think that the two that I really liked was visualizing the impact of a change, just because these are, again, features that I didn't know about, or like, I know they exist in Visual Studio, and I never actually saw how to do them, and I love that they're short videos.
Right.
And then Peter Provost, of course, has always been talking about unit testing, and I love the unit testing, but we talked about the new fakes.
Right.
So for people that are looking at unit tests and fakes, there's a great short video so you can see exactly what's doing, and you know, if you launch Visual Studio, these are the exact same videos when you do your first time loading Visual Studio 2012, right in the IDE.
Yeah.
Directly there. So lots of cool stuff to learn about IDE features.
Yeah, definitely.
So our next story is Blend for Visual Studio 2012. So what do we got here?
Yeah, this one requires a little bit of setup because we actually have two Blend stories this week. The first is that the Blend is part of Visual Studio 2012 today. So if you go out and get the RTM version of Visual Studio 2012, you'll notice you have a lot of the Blend designers built right into that.
Including Express. So if you download Express, actually included.
That's true. But one thing to point out is that this includes support for building Windows 8 Store. Windows 8 Store, Golnaz, could you edit that out? Windows 8 Store applications with Blend. What you won't be able to do with the release that's in the Box product today is build your classic WPF and Silverlight applications. And so there's actually another one, if you want to advance to the next story.
Boom.
There's another one, which is a Blend plus Sketchflow preview for Visual Studio 2012. This is what will give you support for building those classic WPF and Silverlight
desktop
applications,
apps, sure.
Desktop applications. sessions, as well as working with Sketchflow. So if Sketchflow is important to you, you want to continue working with Sketchflow, then this is what you can download as a preview, which of course will officially RTM in the future.
So the reason I love, you can see my excitement, is there's a lot of developers that like the features of Blend, but Blend was always either a separate product
or
not integrated.
Yeah, you're bouncing back and forth, yeah.
And now having it as one download and making it available in the Express SKU is awesome. It just means that many other developers get that built in.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Now, switching gears completely.
Yes, so Charles has a series of videos on Rx. With Bart DeSmet and Rx 2.0 recently launched, and that includes all the features like Windows 8 integration, async await integration, and so on. So you can watch Charles's video to really get an overview. And one of the nice things here is the introduction to Rx series. Mm-hmm. This is, if you're not familiar with what Rx is, the lifetime management, creating sequence, all those wonderful things. This kind of walks you through, and it's intro to rx.com. So a lot of people are like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Here's kind of the step-by-step tutorials.
Right.
For it.
I love ebooks because they structure your format of learning, right? And most of the time, a lot of them out there are free. So really good stuff. Which brings us to picks of the week.
Picks of the week!
So my pick of the week, this is again self-serving, but it's my pick of the week, so I get to do whatever I want, right? And so these are actually two videos that I filmed with the TFS product team. On Monday of this week, we actually announced two things for TFS. One is GitTF, and the other is Kanban for the Team Foundation service. Now, I should mention that both of these, in the fullness of time, will work with both on-premises TFS as well as TFS in the cloud, the Team Foundation service, we call it. But today, the GitTF works with on-prem TFS 2012, and it allows you to basically get the benefits of, actually, I should mention it works with on-prem TFS 2010 as well. And it basically allows you to get the benefits of Git by having a local repository that you can check into, you can work offline, you can fork locally, but then if you wanted to share that code with the rest of your team using TFS or start to link it up to your build servers and your work item management and all that other stuff that TFS affords you, you can now get the best of both worlds by continuing to use Git locally, and then when you're ready, you can say, I want to take this particular check-in, make that available with TFS and associate it with that work item.
And all the things that your workflow is built into TFS.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Running unit tests and all that wonderful stuff.
Yeah. Now Kanban,
So is there a way to explain Kanban and for somebody that's familiar with Agile, what's the difference between Kanban? Is there a 30-second answer for somebody?
Yeah, so I asked the same question of Greg Bohr on the product team who took me through the demo, and basically the 30-second answer is that it's all about limiting your flow and making sure that you have a continuous flow of value that's going out to your customer. If you think about it as in terms of like if you did a ton of dev work and you put off testing, then you're going to find that none of that dev work actually shows up to the customer, at least not in a quality form, until you've actually gone through the testing phase. And so with Kanban, what it encourages you to do is divide up your work into, you can define different segments. One might be research, another one might be development, another one might be testing. And from there, you kind of limit the individual user stories or requirements that are being built at any given time.
So you're not doing 100% dev.
So it limits the context switching. It limits the overhead of your team by actually making sure you've got a consistent flow of value out to the customer. I mean, if you think about it, like if you're a traditional like house builder, right? You're not going to like go out and build 100 foundations at once and then call in all of your framing crews to go out and build the wood structures, right? You're going to build a few foundations. And then you're going to build a few wood structures, and then you're going to put the roofs on, and then you're going to move on to the next plot of land, right? So it's really the same kind of idea. And the great thing about it is it's really compatible with any other process you use, whether that's Scrum or CMMI or something in between.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So my pick of the week is Khan Academy added interactive computer science courses. And I love this. So think about this as a split screen view where on the left side it's almost logo, like a turtle, where you have JavaScript, and it's simple JavaScript where I'm drawing a circle and I'm doing things like saying the color of the circle and width and height. But people can change it on the right frame. One, they get IntelliSense. For color, they get a color picker.
Nice.
All in JavaScript. So you can change the color, you know, set whatever SKU of red hue you want for your code, and actually see the changes live on the right side. And there's a walkthrough audio portion that kind of talks through what you should do. So you can either experiment, listen to the audio, and kind of go all forth. And there's even things like animations, like, you know, a circle that that moves around, and every time through the loop it increases, so it kind of spirals outward and stuff.
I love Logo. That whole concept of learning, like, is this actually Logo or is this something like Logo?
It's not a turtle.
Oh, okay, got it.
So, but they have things like learning through animations, and that is one of the examples where, like, wow, we are animating and moving a circle.
Yep.
And it's what we're doing is increasing the radius and its movement, which is very much like Logo. So
and lesson two is how do you use reactive extensions?
No. So again, programming basics, animation. Yeah. I love that. You know, I'm a big believer in reaching out to non-programmers and getting them to learn to code. So this is pretty sweet.
Absolutely. Well, big week. Lots of stuff for you guys to go download and play with this weekend. And we will see you next week.
Thanks. Thank you.